واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد. Today inshallah we hope to end باب صلاة التطوع from our book الدرر البهية في المسائل الفقهية by الامام محمد بن علي الشوكاني. The last point we read from the book was his statement that والاستخارة. He counted istikhara as from the nawafil, from the tatawu'at that we are ordered to observe. And thereafter he said, وَرَكَعْتَانِ بَعْدَ كُلِّ أَذَانٍ وَإِقَامَةٍ وَرَكَعْتَانِ بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانٍ وَرَكَعْتَانِ بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانٍ وَإِقَامَةٍ. He says, وَرَكَعْتَانِ بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانٍ وَإِقَامَةٍ. He said, and from the tatawu'at is, or rakatan, two units of prayer that we observe, بَيْنَ كُلِّ أَذَانٍ, between every adhan, وَإِقَامَةٍ, and every iqama. The adhan, we discussed adhan at length. What does the word al-adhan mean? Likewise, al-iqama. We discussed these issues at length when we discussed on abwab al-adhan wal-iqama. But what al-imam al-Shawkani is saying here is that from the sunan, from nawafil that are mashru'a, is that we make raka'atan بين كل أذان وإقامة, that we make two units of prayer between every أذان and إقامة. One of the points of benefit here is that he has differentiated between these two units of prayer and the rawatib. He has differentiated between ركعتان بين كل أذان and the rawatib. Don't forget that we discussed the rawatib separately. Four before Zuhur, four after Zuhur, or four before Zuhur, two after Zuhur, or two before Zuhur, two after Zuhur, and so on. But these two units of prayer, rak'atani bayna kulli adhanin wa iqamatin, they are different from the rawatib. Even though the rawatib can be performed between that time, even though we can perform the rawatib between that time, and the sunniyah of the rawatib is stronger than that of these two units of prayer. The sunniyah, the strength of those rawatib and their frequency is stronger than these two. So it means if someone performs subhanallah, if someone performs four units of prayer before salatul zuhur, he can perform after the adhan again. He can perform another two units of prayer. So how many will he have performed before salatul zuhur? Six. It's a big opportunity for what? Things like this will make you remember what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannata illa man aba. The entirety of my ummah will enter al-Jannah except someone who will deliberately refuse. How will it not be that somebody is deliberately refusing when we have all these great opportunities and then we don't explore them? Great opportunities. So instead of, for example, making six rak'ahs before salatul zuhur, people are busy on the telephones. I repeat this thing because it's a disease now. Two nights ago, a brother called me around Isha. He said he finds it difficult to observe Salatul Fajr even when he is awake. If he goes to the masjid, he finds that he is sleeping. I said, perhaps you are suffering from two things, the urine of shaitan and the sihir of shaitan. You know, the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam was told about the man who does not observe any salah until dawn. He says alayhi salatu wa salam, ذَاكَ رَجُلٌ بال الشيطان في أذنه. That's a man or في أذنيه. It has come with these two reports. أذنيه, that is المفرد المضاف. أذنيه the same meaning, two. So that is a man that the shaitan urinates in his ears. Perhaps that time you say you find it difficult to observe Salatul Fajr, you are suffering from the consequences of the urine of shaitan. He kept quiet. I said then there is the session of shaitan. In the hadith we read regarding Qiyam al-Layl, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that يَاقِدُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ قَطَىٰ أَرَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمْ ثَلَاثَ أُقَدْ. Shaitan ties three knots in the head, on your necks, on your lips. Three knots, he ties it there. So if a person sleeps off till the next morning, and then he goes for Salatul Fajr, the knots are still there. So he is suffering from that sihr of shaitan. So the brother was silent. He said, Jazakallah. I said, before you go, I said, perhaps you browse in the night. You make Facebook in the night. You make WhatsApp in the night. Stop it. He said, as if to say, I think this is the real reason why that thing happens to him. So I advised him to stop. From 6, latest after Maghrib, stop your Facebook. Stop it. It will allow your mind to calm down before you sleep. If you are reading or taking the Facebooking, and WhatsApping still late in the night, you will find it difficult to wake up. When you even wake up, you feel like sleeping again. The Messenger, he will stand up when the night becomes hard. One of his sleeps, he sleeps immediately after Isha. That's why al-muhadathatu ba'd al-isha is makruh. Begin to converse, make conversations. Ejo lay isha is makruh. Ja'izun inda al-haja. It's only allowed when there is absolute need for it. Like when a man needs to talk to his family. He comes into the house in the evening. He has some things to discuss with his family before bedtime. Even the English people say early to bed, early to wake up, early to stand up. So how will it be easy for you to stand up at Muntasafil Layl? When you even stop browsing at Muntasafil Layl? This is a disease of our generation. We must consciously address it and stop it. Otherwise, it can turn people to what they don't expect. People are suffering from this disease of Facebooking and WhatsApping today. So everybody, the World Health Organization now, they've called it a disease, have you? What is the disease? They say disease now. The disease to always be on the Facebook and WhatsApp. It has a name now. It's a sickness now. Recognized by World Health Organization. So people should consciously stop it so that they do not close the doors of Al-Jannah against themselves. What did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? He said, innama hiya. What did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? Usiha lakum. He said, it is your good deeds. He says, innama hiya a'malukum. It is your deeds, so it is about what you do. What I do is just to keep a record of your good deeds and evil deeds. Thereafter, I'm going to pay everybody back accordingly. Whoever finds good on the day of Qiyamah, let him thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody who finds any other than that, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Let him not blame anyone except who? His own self. Because he earned himself that. So from the doors of good deeds is that when the azan is made, we make two quick units of prayers. Rakatan baina kulli azanin wa iqamatin. Making two units of prayer between the azan and the iqamah. The evidence for this is in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu, that he reported that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, that bayna kulli adhanayn salatun, bayna kulli adhanayn salatun, between every two adhans. What is the first adhan? The call to tell us about the time for prayer. That's the first adhan. That's the one that the Istilahul Fuqaha we say al-adhan. And then the second one, which is the second adhan, al-iqamah. So he said, bayna kulli adhanin, between the two adhans. Because the iqamah too is some sort of ilam. Al-adhan, ilam. The adhan is information, informing. So iqamah too is informing. While the first adhan informs of us about the time for salah, the iqama informs us about what? Commencement for salah. So in translation, how do we do it? We translate adhan as call to prayer. Call dash to dash prayer. Call to prayer. Adhan. Then you translate iqama as call to commence prayer. Because iqama makes us start the prayer. So they are both adhan, because it is ilam too. It's an information. We are starting the salah. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that bayna kulli adhanayn salatun. There's a prayer to observe between every two adhans. So this is evidence that the iqama is also referred to as what? Adhan. Just like the adhan itself is referred to as adhan. That is the reason why the scholars say that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to say salatu ala nabi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. This dua, if you like, add it. إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. This dua, the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام encouraged us to say it after what? After the adhan. So some of the ulama say we can say it after the iqamah too, because the iqamah is also adhan. So don't be surprised if you find somebody after iqamah, before the imam makes his takbiratul ihram, you hear him say, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma, because the iqamah is also what? Adhan. And he tells us to make that dua afterwards, after the adhan. So it means we can make it twice. We can make it after the call to prayer. We can make it after the call for the commencement of prayer. They are both what? Adhans. So those prayers can be said after that. There are many of the ulama who have this view. Amongst them is Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani. He was extensive regarding this discussion in his book, Al-Thamar al-Mustafa, the first volume, when he discussed al-Adhan. I think we referred to this issue extensively while we were discussing al-Adhan and al-Iqamah. So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that bayna kulli adhanayn salatun. He said it twice. Bayna kulli adhanayn salatun. Bayna kulli adhanayn salatun. Bayna kulli adhanayn salatun. Then he said liman sha'a. For whomever wills. For whomever wills. For whoever who wills. But the person who desires to make those 2 minutes, make 2 minutes after. There is a report that Al-Imam Dar-Qutni has reported about this hadith. This hadith itself occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. So that is why it is on that al-Ahkam. This hadith of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal. Bayna kulli adhanayn salatun liman sha'a. But there is the other that illa salat al-maghrib. Except salat al-maghrib. Don't make 2 adhan. This addition is munkar, is weak. the authentic, reliable reporters of hadith did not report this hadith with that addition, exempting Salatul Maghrib. Meaning that even after Salatul Maghrib, we can do what? Even after the Azan for Salatul Maghrib, we can observe those two units of prayer. I'm sure many of the Babas and Masajids, they hate these two units of prayers. I remember when we were younger than this, if we make it, they used to beat us. Stop it, stop it. They say there is no units of, there are no units of prayer after the Azan for Maghrib. So they stop us. But we did not use to answer, we'll observe it, because we've seen the hadith before. This hadith is a Riyad Salihin. Bain of Kulli Azanim Salat, Liman Shah. So called the Riyad Salihin. Those days we used to get busy with Riyad Salihin. It's a blessed book. So we should observe those two units of prayer, including between the first and second Azans of Salatul Maghrib. There is no exemption. The report that indicates that Salatul Maghrib is exempted, that addition to it is a weak addition from a weak report. It's a rejected report. So for all the Salawat, for Fajr, for Zuhr, for Asr, Maghrib, Isha, we can make those two units of prayer. Don't ask me that for Fajr, is it not Rak'at al-Fajr that we can make? You can make your Rak'at al-Fajr even before the Azan is made, once the Fajr is out. I give us an example. Here that we stay now, in this town that we stay now, at this time, Salatul Fajr comes in at around 5:20, 5:23. It's time for Fajr. But in most of the masajids, the earliest one you will hear the second Azan, the Azan for the Salah itself, is around 5:35, 5:40. Usually they make the first call around 5 o'clock, just 15 minutes before dawn, before Fajr comes out. So if the time for Fajr is around 5:20, 5:19 specifically, but let's say 5:20, 5:22, thereabouts, the Muazzin will not make Azan until 5:30. You can make your rak'at al-fajr in your house, and that is the best thing to do before you proceed to the masjid. So when you get to the masjid and the Muazzin makes the Azan again, the second Azan for Fajr itself, you can stand up and observe these two units of prayer again. So you can observe it like that. You observe rak'at al-fajr at home, and then you observe the two units of prayer between the two Azans inside the masjid. Before you can even also observe that one at home. Bayna kulli Azanain Salatun. You can observe that one too in addition at home after his Azan. And then you come to the masjid, they have not started praying. You make Tahiyatul Masjid again. Wallahi, the abwab of Khairat is big. Big. Fastabikul Khairat. Fastabikul Khairat. One of the scholars wrote a book, Ibtinamul Waqt. Making good use of our time, min ibadah, for worship. So he started mentioning all these nawafil fastings that the individual can get used to and make good use of his time, because these are the things that we will be asked about. He says, "Wa kulla shay'in ahsaynahu kitaba," and that for everything that you do and say, we put them, we have a record of them in the books. Ahsaynahu. We take care of them. Kitaba. Writing them down. So may Allah protect us all. We said that one nafila people make, that's from the tatawu'at, but it's been a problem to the people. Even yesterday, I heard people talking about it. That is Salatul Tasbih. Some of the people believe that Salatul Tasbih is bid'ah. Some scholars said that. One of those persons who said that was Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He mentioned it in Minhaj al-Sunnah. He also mentioned it in his fatawa. He said it is bid'ah, that the reports regarding it are fabricated. Al-Imam ibn al-Jawzi, before Ibn Taymiyyah, he also graded the hadith of Salat al-Tasbih to be mawdu'a, even though the scholars rejected those two statements from the two of them. Ibn al-Jawzi was the first person who said that Salat al-Tasbih was mawdu'a. The reports, the ahadith that report Salat al-Tasbih is mawdu'a. This statement was first made by Imam Ibn al-Jawzi in the late 5th century of Islam. Late 5th century, 570 Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah. Thereafter, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Thereafter, Al-Imam al-Shawqani in Al-Fawaid al-Majmu'ah that he wrote about Al-Ahadith al-Mawdu'ah. He also mentioned the Hadith to be Mawdu'ah. Then in our own times, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen also says that Salat al-Tasbih has a weak report, that the reports are very weak and unreliable. So he, rahimahullah, declared it that it is bid'ah and unsubstantiated. We should not do it. Likewise, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he also has that opinion. But this opinion is wrong. To say that Salat al-Tasbih has been reported as a fabricated report is wrong. It's a wrong opinion. Like I said, from amongst those who mentioned that was Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi. It's a wrong statement. Ulama say it is wrong. The scholars say that position of theirs is wrong. It is wrong to say that Salat al-Tasbih is an innovation. That statement is a wrong statement. Salat al-Tasbih is established in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Salat al-Tasbih is established in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The hadith regarding Salat al-Tasbih occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. We'll come back to that. And it has been widely reported. That is part of the problem. There are reasons why they made such kinds of errors. Because the hadith itself is problematic. Why is it problematic? It is widely reported by many of the companions. And in many of the asanid of each of them, you find weak reporters in them. So if one of the scholars finds an isnad that is da'if, and he rules on it based on that isnad that is weak, what will he say? He will say, Salat al-Tasbih, Hadith Salat al-Tasbih, da'ifun. That's what he will say. I give us an example. Like Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan. The riwayah of this Salah in Sunan al-Tirmidhi is da'if. It's a weak report. It's riwayah da'ifah. Is a weak report, weak chain of reports that Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi has in his Sunnah. So if you say Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi grades it, and it is part of what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has mentioned, from the Umdah of Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen for that deal, is this position of al-Tirmidhi. And al-Tirmidhi was dealing with a weak report of Salat al-Tasbih. So if you depend on that, to say that the entirety of Salat al-Tasbih is weak, then you are wrong. Because it has changed that authentic. This hadith has been reported by Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, his son. It was reported by Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. It was reported by Ali ibn Abi Talib, Rabbi Allah. It was reported by Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, It was reported by a number of them, by Umm Salama radiallahu anha, by Abu Rafi, by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and so on. So in each of some of these reports of these, each of these things, you find weak reporters in them. So if a scholar is dealing with a chain that has weak reporter, he will say that it is weak. So that is the reason why what the scholars of hadith have done is that instead of dealing with the reports one after the other, they gather all the reports in a single book. It will make us see it all. Instead of dealing with the reports one by one, they deal with the reports majmu'at. The first person who did that, to my knowledge, was Al-Imam Ibn Mandah. He gathered the reports in a whole book. That was in the late 3rd century of Islam. And Imam Ibn Mandah has a book on Salatul Tasbih. He gathered all the reports of Salatul Tasbih. After him, in the early 4th century, Imam Dar Qutni, Omar Ibn Ali, or Ali Ibn Omar. Imam Dar Qutni, he gathered the whole, the entirety of the reports that he can find at the time, in a single book. On Salatul Tasbih. After him, Al-Imam Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. This is the book by Al-Imam Abu Bakr, Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah. He gathered the reports on Salatul Tasbih. Why are we talking about this? If you don't gather the reports of the hadith, it will be hard for you to give a balanced reading regarding the hadith. Because the isnad you have may be weak. You wouldn't know that there are authentic asanid for the same hadith that you are dealing with. So those like Sheikh Mashhur Hassan al-Salman said, rahimahullah, in his tahqiq, in his muqaddima in about 75 pages, this book, the introduction to it, the muqaddima of this book, by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, has the muqaddima of Sheikh Mashhur Hassan al-Salman in 75 pages, rahimahullah, hafizahullah. He said at the beginning of it, he said, "Laysat kalimatul fasli fi salati tasbih aw fi salati tasabih illa 'inda al-muhaddithin. Laysat kalimatul fasli fi salati tasabih illa 'inda al-muhaddithin." The clear cut explanatory clear statement that will clarify the problems regarding Salatul Tasbih. Nobody has the solution except the scholars of hadith. Why? Because they'll be able to gather the asanid and say, okay, this is the ruling. Based on it all. But many of those talking about it will hear that, inshallah, if Allah gives us the time. Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi picked just one of the isnads. And that isnad has a reporter whose name was Musa ibn Abdul Aziz. He said, "Wa Musa ibn Abdul Aziz indana majhul." Musa ibn Abdul Aziz majhulun indana. It's a reporter that's not known. We don't know him whether he's reporting authentic reports. Based on that, he wrote the hadith to be mawdu'. Many of the scholars after him, after Ibn al-Jawzi, they rejected that statement that even if Musa ibn Abdul Aziz is majhul, an unknown reporter, is it the ruling of the report of an unknown reporter that it has now become mawdu', fabricated? You have in the isnad of a hadith a reporter that is not known, majhul, on either of the sides, whether majhul ayn or majhul al-hal. Let's assume you have a hadith. There's majhul al-ayn. The individual will just hear his name. For example, somebody bears Abu al-Barakat al-Lajusi. Who is Abu al-Barakat al-Lajusi? Abu al-Barakat al-Lajusi. Who is he? That's the name of a reporter. In the chain of reports, you start finding Abu al-Barakat al-Lajusi. Abu al-Barakat is his kunya. Lajusi is Nisba. So how do you, who, how many people are Lajusi you who have that Nisba or Abu al-Barakat? There are many. So you can start looking for it, you get that. Who is this? So the ayin itself, the actual person itself, you cannot identify the person. But if you have a reporter, Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman, Abu al-Barakat, Allah Jusi, we understand. Yes, this is a person that is known. And then among the scholars of hadith, the second reason for him to go out of Jahalatul Ayn is that we have at least two reporters reporting from him. So if we have Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman, Allah Jusi, Abu al-Barakat, we know his name. The next thing we find out about him is what? Who are those who have reported hadith from him? Is he known as a reporter of hadith? Yes, he's known. So who reported from him? Abdul Rahman reported from him. Abdul Razak reported from him. And these Abdul Rahman and Abdul Razak, they are known. This person goes away from being Majhul al-Ayn. So it remains Majhul al-Hal or Jahalatul Hal. It remains Jahalatul Hal. That is, we don't know. Is he now a true, correct, reliable reporter of hadith? We now start asking the scholars of hadith. Do you know this reporter? How are his reports? Does he give reports that are authentic or weak? They will now start telling us, say, Kotun, he's a reliable reporter of hadith. Oh, Laba Sabihi. His reports could be relied upon. Shaykhun, not very good. Makbulun. If we find another person who has reported the kind of hadith that he has reported, we will accept it. All these kinds of things begins to come. So by that, he comes out of Jahalatul Hal. So we now know him, we can identify him. We can also trust on his reports. Every person you find in a hadith that is sahih, this job has been done on them. You see our scholars? We have over 35,000 to 40,000 of human beings that their data is known like this in the history of Islam. Men and women. And wallahi, if you study, how is it really done to say he's a reliable scholar? Say Kotun is reliable person in hadith. You know what they do? They gather all his reports. Every hadith that he has reported, they will gather it. They will now start comparing his reports with the reports of well-known, trustworthy reporters. So if you have one Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman, Allah Jusi, for example, Abu al-Barakat, he's known. And two reporters, well-known too, reported hadith from him. For us to now know whether this Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman is a correct, reliable, trustworthy reporter of hadith, all his ahadith. If he has reported 500 hadiths, ulama will collect all the 500 hadiths, one by one. They will be studying the correlation of his hadith with those who are reliable reporters of hadith, like Malik, like Shafi, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. These are these reporters of hadith, well known for their trustworthiness in terms of their deen and in terms of their ability to retain what has been said and transmitted. If a person like Shafi'i rahimahullah puts to memory a book like Muwatta Imam Malik, according to some between Maghrib and Isha, and according to some between Isha and Fajr, he is reading the entirety of Muwatta from his mind for the first time. It is not that he had memorized it before he came. He arrived in Medina and asked, which book are we studying with our Shaykh? He said, Muwatta. Say, this book, he collected it. By Fajr, he had it in his mind. So this reporter now, Abdullah ibn Abu Rahman, for example, they will now be comparing his reports with that of Shafi to find out the level of conformance. If he conforms with these known trustworthy reporters, these brilliant reporters of ahadith, he conforms with them 90%, say Sikha. Sabtun is dependable, is reliable. If he conforms with them 80%, for example, 70%, 60%. That is how what they will say about him too will be dropping. If in most of his reports, maybe he confirmed in only 30%, for example, you say it means galaba alayhi daf wal mukhalafa. It means al galibu fi amrihi mada al mukhalafa. That is a daf. It means most of what happens to this man is largely unreliable. So those kinds of people, you can see them just write daif. Daif does not mean that every hadith that the daif has reported is daif. But it means that al-galibu fi amrihi adam al-i'timad alayhi. The most thing in his matter is that don't rely on him. In most of the situation, he doesn't do well. So he doesn't do well. That is the basic rule. If he's 60-65%, you'll be hearing him saying sadukum. If he's around 60-50, you hear him saying sadukum yukhti. Sadukum lahu awham. If it's around 10% conformance, you'll be hearing Sayyid Hibs. And if he hardly conforms, you'll be hearing them say Munkar. Yani al-aslu fihi al-mukhala. He is always reporting opposite. If everybody is reporting that the right hand was used, he who reports that the leg was used, no leg was used. If everybody is saying it came from up, the rain fell from up. What will he say? The rain was coming from downwards up. It's Munkar. But for some people, their own situation is that they don't even care about their sanity. They are known to be liars. They are not trustworthy in their deed. They lie in their day-to-day affairs with the people. This kind of a person will be referred to as Mutahamun Bilkazib. Someone to whom lies are ascribed. He lies in his day-to-day affairs. And when we hear that the person is kazzab, the meaning is that yadawul ahadith. He fabricates ahadith. So the person who lies in his day-to-day affairs, but he does not fabricate hadith, is better than the one who lies in his day-to-day affairs, and then he fabricates ahadith. Even if he does not lie in his day-to-day affairs, and then he lies and ascribes it to Allah and his messenger, he is worse than the person who lies in day-to-day affairs. But the scholars of hadith have differentiated between somebody who lies in his day-to-day affairs, but he does not lie regarding the deen, and somebody who lies regarding the deen. The one who lies regarding the deen is worse. They are the ones regarding whom you'll be hearing kathabun, wadda'un, yurakibul azi, shaytanun, Dajjalun min al-dajajila. You'll be hearing statements like this, that he's Dajjal. Because the leader of all liars is who? Amongst human beings. Dajjal. So, when Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi mentioned this hadith to be Manzur, he was saying that either there is somebody in the Islam who is Muttahamun bil-Kazbi, who lies in his day-to-day affairs, or that there is somebody in the Isnad who actually has the job of doing what? Fabricating a hadith. None of these two occurs in the Isnad that he is referring to. He said Musa ibn Abdul Aziz is majhul. Majhul is that he is not known. The hadith is da'if. Course, if it is true that that reporter is not known. But the fact is that the reporter was known. Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in referred to him as thicker. Al-Imam al-Nasai report to him, mentioned him to be La Ba'tabihi. La Ba'tabihi means that the hadith is hasan. That is, his hadith can be accepted. He has about 60-55% conformance. He's not bad. We can accept his reports. But Al-Imam ibn al-Jawzi said, no do. Regarding the report of a hadith where we have somebody, he mentioned him. He said, majhulun indan, idha kana rajul majhulan indakum. If the man was unknown to you. So the ruling of the hadith is mawdu. What? Ulama say that it is wrong. Al-Imam ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he said, qad asa'a ibn al-Jawzi. Asa'a, usin tiyuda. Rahimahullah, بذكره إياه من الموضوعات. By mentioning this hadith from amongst the موضوعات. أساء ابن الجوزي. ابن الجوزي أساء بذكره إياه من الموضوعات. By mentioning this hadith amongst موضوعات, It is Isa Ashishini. Elsewhere he says, Rahimahullah, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he says, وَقَالَ إِنَّ الْجَرْضِ said, أَنَّ مُوسَى ibn Abdul Aziz, that Musa ibn Abdul Aziz, مَجْرُولٌ is an unknown reporter. فَلَمْ يُسْرِبْ فِي ذَلِكِ Ibn al-Jawzi was not correct in that. لِأَنَّ مَنْ يُوَسِّقْهُ or مَنْ يُوَسِّقْهُ because the individual that will be graded trustworthy by Ibn al-Ma'in wal-Nasa'i, by Imam al-Nasa'i, لَا يَضُرُّهُ it will not harm such a reporter. أَنْ يَجْهَلَ حَالَهُ مَنْ جَاءَ بَعْدَهُمَا that the one who comes after them now says, I don't know him. The A'imma before you say, we know him. You came 200-300 years after them to say, no, I don't know him. It does not harm that reporter. I hope that this point is clear. This is the same statement that people like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Mubarak Ibn Uthaymeen depended on to say that this hadith is Mawdu. Atilodi Jelati Kuku, Safawe Kuku. It's a wrong statement. It's a wrong statement. To say that this hadith is Mawdu. It's a wrong statement. Al-Imam al-Suyuti rahimahullah says, Afraqa ibn al-Jawzi, Uqqajala, to include this hadith amongst Mawdu'at. Al-Imam ibn Nasir al-Din al-Dimashqi rahimahullah, he says, Kayfa yahkumu bil-wad'i, how could he have ruled that this hadith is Mawdu'? Lijahalat al-Rawi, faqat. Just because he does not know who the reporter is. كَيْفَ يَحْكُمْ بِالْوَضْعِ How could he have gone to say that this hadith is Mawdu? This is the same thing that our scholars who came later, that we, many of our brothers, will only read that fatwa, stop there, and then begin to shout that Salatu Tasbih is Mawdu, is da'if. وَنْ نِبِدِيَانِ شَوْكُ فَيْمِي نِبِدِيَانِ كُفَرَ بَلَوْ بَلَيْهِ Where they themselves depended on has been mentioned to be something that is not dependable. One of the scholars, Al-Allamatu Muhammad ibn Tahir Al-Fatani, he said, Rahimahullah, called Akthar al-Huffaz, the great scholars of Hadith, Akthar al-Huffazi, min al-Raddi al-Adn al-Zawzi. They were repeatedly mentioning refutations against Al-Imam ibn al-Jawzi. بِذِكْرِهِ فِي الْمَوْضُوعَاتِ Because he mentioned that hadith as from what? Hadith al-Mawdu'ah. This hadith is not Mawdu'ah. This hadith is not Mawdu'ah. But for some of them, like Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, one of those that Sheikh al-Uthaymeen mentioned in his fatwa to say that the hadith is weak, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi depended on a weak isnad. So he will say it is weak. So if you depend on somebody who depended on a weak isnad, your fatwa too will work, it will be a weak fatwa. Another person who gave a statement of weakness was Al-Imam al-Uqayli, Ibn Al-Imam al-Uqayli. He also mentioned the hadith to be weak. The scholar said he was also depending on a weak isnad. Otherwise, the hadith of Salatul Tasbih, they are sahiha. The hadith that reports Salatul Tasbih is sahih. Before we go on to start talking about, we try to remove the gubar first. So now let us build the house. Let us establish the practice. The best of the reports of Salatul Tasbih is the report of Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad. Don't say, you said Ibn al-Jawzi's statement was wrong. I didn't say so. I read the statements of A'imma. Now you say the best isnad is this isnad of Abbas Ibn Abdul Muttalib. Yes, ulama says. The first person who said that was Al-Imam Muslim. The first person who said the best isnad on this hadith is the hadith of Abbas is who? Imam Muslim. Rahimahullah. But before him, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahweh, Ibn Ibrahim ibn Rahweh, Rahimahullah, he said this hadith is Hassan. He said because there are other reports, that even if you say this very report is da'if, there are other reports that indicate that it is sahih. This statement, the statement of Ishaq ibn Ibrahim ibn Rahwaya, I have not been seeing it in the books of those who have written about Salatul Tasbih. It's the reason I'm mentioning it. And it occurs in this tahqiq of Sheikh Mashrur Hassan al-Salman on the Jews of Al-Imam Abu Bakr al-Khatib al-Baghdadi on Salatul Tasbih. It occurs in it. The statement of Ishaq ibn Rahwaya, rahimahullah, that the hadith is at least Hassan bi majmu'i turq ala al-aqal. The least ruling you see it is Hassan, meaning that it is still dependable. The least ruling you find. But I have not seen it in the books people have written. It's the reason I'm mentioning it. When our brothers here, they should go back to this book, Zikru Salati Tasbih والأحاديث التي رويت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فيها واختلاف ألفاظ الناكلين لها. This book was written originally by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi in the late 4th to early 5th century of Islam. He compiled this book, gathered all the afanid regarding Salat al-Tasbih, and recently Sheikh Mashrur Hassan al-Salman, I actually got my copy from him. He gave us a book and he wrote a Muqaddimah in 75 pages. In it, he's known for that. If he's writing on an issue, he will be giving you additional fawaid that you will hardly see any other book. So he mentioned that tahsin of Ibn Rahwaya in this book, in the Muqaddimah. Just go to it, you see it. I wouldn't want to be going into it so that we can proceed. So the point is that the ulama say that this isnad by Abbas regarding Salatul Tasbih is the best of isnad, and that isnad is Alal Aqal, Al-Imam Ba'akufuri, the author of Tuhfatul Ahwazi. He says, La yadhattu an darajatil husni. This hadith will not go any less than Hassan. It will not go any less than the level of a hadith that is what? Hassan. The least Hassan. So to say that Salatul Tasbih is bid'ah is a weak statement. It's a weak statement. So how does the Salah go? What happened? What about the Salah? Abdullah ibn Abbas reported from his father Abbas, رضي الله عنهما. Abdullah ibn Abbas reported from his father أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال للعباس. Ibn Abbas said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said to my father Al-Abbas. Don't forget, we said that his younger brother also reported the hadith. So the most likely thing is that when the Prophet was telling them, they were present. Do you understand? إذ قال رسول الله صلى الله أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال للعباس ابن عبد المطلب. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said to Abbas, the son of عبد المطلب, يا عباس, oh Abbas, don't wonder how is it like that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abbas, they had their age very close. Uncle and nephew. The age gap is very small between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abbas. If I am not forgetting, I think the Prophet is even older than Abbas, or that Abbas is just older than him by 1-3 years maximum. And Abbas. So they are so close. The reason I'm saying it is that some people can say, I have a child like that. When we get back to him, his mother's mother, that is his grandmother, just gave back to a boy. That boy is just 6 months older than my own son. So when you tell him, she Khalid, can you say, he said, Khalid is your uncle. He said, Nene Kankashi, that is, I'm the one that is his uncle. They are always together. You know, children, this one say, no, he's not my uncle. He's just there. Maybe I'm his uncle, in fact. So this kind of thing happens between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who? Abbas. So they are so close, they talk, they relate. Even though Abbas is the younger brother of the Prophet's father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, Ya Abbas, O Abbas, Ya Ammam, O my uncle, should I not give you, Allah amnahuk, should I not present something to you? Allah ahbok, should I not gift you with something? He was using different expressions for gifting. I have a gift for you. I have a present for you. I have a thing of benefits to give you. When you begin to say this, ulama say, little kid. He wants to affirm that emphasis. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he wants Abbas to take care of that salah. Let me tell you something. Let me give you something. Let me gift you something. Let me present you with a present. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah af'alu bika ashra khisal. Should I not tell you something that has 8 forms? It takes care of 8 things. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إذا أنت فعلت ذلك, when you do that thing, غفر الله لك ذنبك, غفر الله لك ذنبك, Allah will forgive you all your sins. أوله, how many did he call it? عشرة خصال, عشرة, 10, عشرة خصال. What I want to give you now is solve 10 problems, 10 forms of a problem. It will solve it. إِذَا أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ ذَنْبَكَ. When you do it, Allah will forgive you your sins. أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ. The first of them and the last of them that you perform before you pass away. قَدِيمَهُ وَحَدِيثَهُ. Whether they are old, you done them in the past. وَحَدِيثَهُ. Or you just do them recently. خَطَأَهُ وَعَمْدَهُ. Whether they are an error, a mistake. Some of the scholars say, don't you wonder why is it that he's asking that Allah will forgive him his mistakes? Because mistake is naqs. Mistake is naqs. Even though there is no ism, there is no sin connected to that naqs. Mistake is his deficiency. Somebody mistakenly eats in the afternoon of Ramadan. It's a deficiency. The correct thing is that we should fast. We should not eat anything from Tulul Fajr to Ghurub al-Shams. That he ate something deficient even though he's not held against him. So it is not. See, that's why he says, قَطَأَهُ وَعَمْدَهُ. Whether those ones that are from your errors or the ones that you did deliberately. صَغَيْرَهُ وَكَبِيرَهُ. Whether they are from the small sins or they are from the big sins. سِرَّهُ وَعَلَانِيَتَهُ. Whether you did them in the private or you did them in the open. These are 10. أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ قَدِيمَهُ وَحَدِيثَهُ قَطَأَهُ وَعَمْدَهُ صَغِيرَهُ وَكَبِيرَهُ سِرَّهُ وَعَلَانِيَتَهُ. عشر خصال. غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ ذَنْبَكَ. Allah will forgive all these forms, these 10 forms of sins. Allah will forgive you. Which one will be remaining? Allah will forgive you all your sins. One of the things he added is kabirahu wa sagirahu. May Allah forgive all of us. What is that thing? Antu salliya arba raka'at. That you perform 4 units of prayers. تقرأ في كل ركعة فاتحة الكتاب وسورة. You will read al-Fatiha in every of the rak'at and a surah. So if you are asking, how do they perform Salatul Tasbih? You perform Salatul Tasbih by observing 4 rak'at, 4 units of prayers. وتقرأ في كل منها. And you will recite in each of those 4 units of prayers, Fatiha al-Kitab, Surah al-Fatiha, wa Surah, and a Surah. Let me quickly say this because of time. This means that There are no particularly mentioned surah for Salatul Tasbih. So I would not like somebody to ask me after this class, please, which surah? Can we read in Athena? You can read in Athena. Can we read Wal Asr? You can read any surah. He says, Fatihatul Kitab, and what? Suratan, suraka, any surah. In each of the raka'at. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ مِنَ الْكِرَاءَةِ فِي أَوَّلِ رَكْعَةٍ When you finish from the recitation, after your Fatiha and the surah or portion of the surah that you choose to read, like we make in other nawafil, when you finish that at the beginning of the rak'ah, وَأَنْتَ قَائِمٌ While you are still standing up, قُلْتَ You should say, Subhanallah, والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله الله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله الله أكبر The report that adds ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله is ضعيفة So don't add ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله The report occurs in the Juz of Khatib al-Baghdadi You see Muhaddithun They will gather everything for you. So don't read that one. Don't say, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Why? The isnad is derived from Jiddah. It's in this book. It's in this Zikr Salat al-Tasbih by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi with the Tahqiq of Sheikh Mashhur Hassan Ali Salman. It occurs in it. Don't read it. And Sheikh Mashhur also mentioned it in his Muqaddimah that he sent with the book. So we should say, after reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and then reciting any surah that is convenient for us, what should we say? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Khamsa ashrata marratan. We should recite it 15 times. Start counting. 15. Nurid wa while standing. Wa anta qa'imun. While you are still standing. After Fatiha and Surah, you recite that at Tasbih. How many times? 15 times. Summa tarka'u. After reciting 15 times, tarka'u. You make ruku. Fataquluha wa anta raki'un ashra. After the adhkar of ruku. What is the adhkar of ruku? Subhana rabbi al-azim. Subuhu kudusu rabbul malaikati wa ruh and so on. After reciting them, what do? You recite it how many times? Ashra, 10 times. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. How many times? You recite it 10 times. The summa tarfa wa ra'asaka min al-ruku'. Then we raise our heads from ruku'. Fatakuluha ashra. Then you recite it 10 times again. After, Sami Allahu liman hamida, while standing up, while fully standing, what do you say? Rabbana wa lakal hamd, hamdan, kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan alayhi, or mubarakan fi. They are both being reported, and they are both in Sahih Muslim. Kama yuhibdu Rabbuna wa yarda mil'u samawat, wa mil'u al-ard, wa mil'u ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd, ahlu al-thana'i wal-majid, la mani alima atayt, ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا اله الا الله الله اكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله you continue how many times do we do that 10 times ثم تهوي ساجدا then you go down in sujood فتقولها وانت ساجد عشرا likewise You say it while in prostration. How many times? 10 times. But before that, you say adhkar of sujood. What is the adhkar? Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Oh, subuhu kudus rabbul malaikati wa ruh. And others. After them, what do you say? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Thumma tarfa'u ra'asaka min as-sujood. After the 10th one, you raise your head. You stand up from the sujood. فَتَقُولُهَا عَشْرًا After that zikr, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَاهْدِينِي وَعَافِنِي وَارْزُقْنِي. Whether do we say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, 10 times. ثُمَّ تَسْجُدُ فَتَقُولُهَا عَشْرًا. You go back to sajda again. You say your zikr of sajda or sujood, and then you follow it with how many times again? 10 times. ثُمَّ تَرْفَعُ رَأْسَكَ فَتَقُولُهَا عَشْرًا. Then you raise your head. You know that's jalsatul istiraha. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not stand up until he sits down first. It occurs in the hadith of Malik ibn Khuwayris in Sahih al-Bukhari. It also occurs in the hadith of Abu Hamid ibn Sa'id. Have we forgotten me? Jalsatul istiraha. You sit down first. While you are sitting down, before you stand up for the second rak'ah, you say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, 10 times. You would have made it 75 times. How many would you count? 75. That is the end of one rak'ah. Then you stand up again. You recite Surah Al-Fatiha, you recite a surah, you start again as you did. You do that for 4 rak'ahs. Let's read it. It says, فَذَلِكَ خَمْسٌ وَسَبْعُونَ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will count as 75. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فِي كُلِّ رَكْعَةٍ. In every rak'ah. تَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ فِي كُلِّ رَكْعَةٍ. You do like that in every of the rak'ah. إن استطعت أن تصليها في كل يوم مرة ففعل. If you are able to do it once every day, do it. So don't say, أمين ولا لسه. أفا إفعلوا كه النبي تفوا صلى الله عليه وسلم. كاسن ما كليبا. The people will say, give us the adage. My people call it adage. Give us the number. How do we know how to? The Prophet gave us صلى الله عليه وسلم. Says in istata'ta, if you are able an tusalliha fi kulli yawmin marratan fa'al, if you are able to do it once every day, do it. You don't have then I spoke on Abi, all your sins will be forgiven. First, last, middle, before, up, down, all will be forgiven. Big and small, once a day. And I tell you, if you do this salah, it may not take you up to 30 minutes. And I tell you, the least time it takes people to browse on WhatsApp is 30 minutes. The person who starts browsing, reading WhatsApp messages at 30 minutes has tried. Usually people look at their time, say, oh, 9 o'clock. I'll stop at 9:30 or 9:15. I just want to read news. Let me know what's happening today. APC and PDP. They start browsing. By the time you know it, 9:28, they now see one article. News item. Politician, so-so-so-so is decamping to ABC. He's decamping again? Let me read it. Before they finish it, it will be 9:37, 9:38. Under that one, these people, Shaitan is really using them against the people. Allah. Under that article, they said that there are 50 people that cannot travel out of Nigeria. Their names are here. He said, hey, 50 people cannot travel out of Nigeria. You will click it. There is a problem that happens there. Maybe the internet in your area is slow. That's why we take 5 minutes to teach those. So, it will take him to 9:40. When he opens it, he will see that there are no names there. Why? The federal government did not release any particular names. The security agencies have the names. But they said there are 50, their names. So perhaps what you read are journalist speculations. They think, because they said that those people have corruption cases, they must not go. I'm not saying anything that is happening. I'm just saying my own. I'm giving an example. So they can't travel. So you start reading the article. You read that for 10 minutes. As he turns it away, they will give him another news. They say, breaking, breaking. There is a general they have been looking for in Sokoto. They have seen him. He say, hey, how they have seen him? He opens that news item with him. He wanted to stop at 9:30. Wallahi, if he's not careful, till 12:30 he will not stop. He will not stop. He will not stop at 12. He will not stop. That is the way Shaitan captures the people. So the time that he spends to make salah to tasbih, he has spent it browsing. May Allah protect all of us. This trap, there is nobody that is exempted from it, except the person that Allah protects. May Allah protect all of us. So be careful about it. Be careful. Because on the day of Qiyamah, it will be how many duha did you perform? How many Qiyamah lay? How many salat tasbih? It will not be about whether you know whether 50 people were banned from traveling or not. That will not be important. The least thing, if you are not even careful, is that you'll be seeing from that. Because the newspaper, if it is one paper that I know very well in Southwest here, they bring one woman there that is badly dressed. Why is it that because a man wants to read an article regarding a news or something, you have to first of all see a woman who is badly dressed? What kind of society are we becoming? What are we doing? What's happening to humanity? So may Allah protect all of us. Otherwise, the way people check their WhatsApp messages every day, I wish that they can perform salat to tasbih every day. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَمْ تُسَلِّيَهَا فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مَرَّةً فَفَعْ. If you can perform it on every day once, do so. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَفِي كُلِّ جُمْعَةٍ مَرَّةً. If you don't perform it once every day, فِي كُلِّ جُمْعَةٍ, once a week, perform it. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَفِي كُلِّ شَهْرٍ مَرَّةً. If you cannot perform it once a week, because it is a thing of benefit, he does not want him to lose. You did not see how many expressions he employed to impress it on him that it is something that is important he must keep to. So if you can't do it once a week, at least do it once every month. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَفِي كُلِّ سَنَةٍ مَرَّةً. Whole year, if you cannot do it one month, once in a month, try in the entirety of a year. Try to do it. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَفِي عُمْرِكَ مَرَّةً. If you cannot do that too, make sure that you do it once in your life. So you see now that anyone who gets into the fire has himself to blame. If you cannot do it once. Some of the scholars say that, like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen Rahimah, he said this is one of the evidences that this hadith is weak. Ulama say it cannot be an evidence that it is weak. Once the isnad is sahih. وَذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشْرِ. Once the isnad is sahih, إِذَا صَحَ الْإِسْنَادِ انْتَحْ. One of the things he said again, he said it contradicts the normal way of performing salah. Sheikh Mashhur Hassan Al Salman. He said, what does it contradict? Except for the fact that when you are making Jansatul Istiraha before standing up for the second rak'ah, you sit down and make Azkar. Ordinarily, you sit down. So there is no contradiction there. If before you are making normal Salah, from the first rak'ah to the second rak'ah, you sit Jansatul Istiraha. So what does it contradict? He said, the only thing you can say is that while you are not making Azkar for Jansatul Istiraha in normal Salawat and Nawafil, you will make azkar for the Jalsatul Istiraha for Salatul Tasbih. He said that is the only difference. Otherwise, when you stand up, you make azkar. It's just prolonging the azkar of Salah. So there's no difference between Salatul Tasbih and four rakats of Dhuhr you perform straight without making any Tasbih. He said there's no difference, except for the fact that When you are making jalsatul istiraha or jilsatul istiraha, when you are not supposed to make adhkar, in this hadith that is authentic, it says make adhkar. That is the difference. What about salatul kusuf or khusuf? Salatul kusuf, it has two rak'ahs in one unit. You make ruku, you stand up again, you start fatiha again. Why have we accepted it as salah? Because the ahadith that report it are what? They are authentic. So why will we accept salah to tasbih as a salah? Because the ahadith that report it are authentic. That's why Sheikh Mashur Hassan Ali Salman, Hafizahullah, that statement is a golden statement in this mas'ala. He said, Laysat kalimatul fasli, the deciding statement in this matter. Laysat kalimatul fasli fi salati tasabihi illa inda al-muhaddisi. It is the scholars of hadith. When they say the hadith is sahih, intah. And the hadith is sahih. So there is no argument regarding salatu tasbih, whether it is maudu. Those statements are weak statements. Oh, it is da'if, weak statements. The ahadith that reports, the hadith that reports salatul tasbih is authentic. This hadith that I just read to us, it occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud, it occurs in Sunan Ibn Majah, it also occurs in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim, Imam Ibn Khuzaymah reported it, and Imam Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi reported it in his Juz, and Imam Ibn Nasiruddin Al-Dimashqi reported it, and Imam Daruqutni, a lot of the scholars of hadith have reported it. That is why when Sheikh Ibn al-Uthaymeen said that it is not a popular thing to do, ulama say, what is not popular? It is not popular and it is so widely reported. How do you say a hadith, a practice contained in a hadith that so widely reported is not popular? Go and read the fatwa of Sheikh Ibn al-Uthaymeen. One of the things he says that this thing is not popular. Ulama say it is popular. Bawakon, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, Mustadrak Hakim, Ibn Khuzaymah, Khatib al-Baghdadi, Daruqutni, Ibn Manda, Ibn Nasiruddin al-Dimashqi, and Imam al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra, and many other scholars of hadith have reported this hadith. Ibn Hibbah. You say no, it's not popular. Amongst whom is it not popular? Hadith waqa, hadith is sahih from Sunan Abi Dawud. You say it is not popular. Sunan Abi Dawud is one of the major books of hadith that almost the Bwamale Kyolote Emile Salatu Tasbih one way. So to say it's not popular, and then because it's not popular, let's reject it, let's keep this hadith aside, even though it's not a sahih. It's a weak statement to give. It's a weak statement to give. The hadith regarding Salatul Tasbih, this hadith that we have read from Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan Ibn Majah and others, with the isnad of Abbas, with the isnad of Ikrimah Al-Barbari rahimahullah, from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu and Umar and Abbas himself, this isnad is an isnad that is authentic. Let us mention a few amongst the scholars of hadith who have mentioned this hadith to be authentic. I had mentioned Al-Imam Ishaq Ibn Ibrahim Ibn Rahwaya. He mentioned the hadith to be authentic. After him, Al-Imam Muslim mentioned the hadith to be authentic. After him, Al-Imam Abu Dawud, who has reported the hadith himself, his son reported it from him, that my father gave this hadith to be authentic. Likewise, his student, Al-Imam Abu Bakr al-Ajurri. In Al-Imam al-Ajurri, he has a book, Al-Sharia. In many WhatsApp messages, people say now. You see Al-Ajurri in his book, Al-Sharia. Al-Imam al-Ajurri, he has a book, Al-Nasiha. In that book, he says, هذا حديث صحيح. This hadith is sahih. After him, there are many others among the scholars of hadith. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Umar, Abu Musa al-Madini, is a 5th century scholar of Islam. In his book, Kitab al-Tasheeh, Hadith al-Tasbih, is a whole book on Salat al-Tasbih. Kitab al-Tasheeh, Hadith al-Tasbih, he mentioned the hadith to be authentic. Al-Imam ibn al-Mulaqqin, He also mentioned hadith to be authentic. Al-Imam al-Mundiri, Abdul Azim ibn Abdul Qawi, in his book, At-Targhib wa At-Targhib, he also mentioned hadith authentic. Al-Imam ibn Shaheed, he also has a book, At-Targhib wa At-Targhib. He mentioned this hadith to be authentic. Al-Imam Abu Muhammad Abdul Rahim al-Misri, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Mundiri, he gave this hadith authentic. Likewise, Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Muqdasi, he also graded this hadith authentic. These are among the early scholars who graded it authentic. Otherwise, the likes of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar also graded it authentic. He has a whole book on it. Al-Imam al-Suyuti, rahimahullah, Jalaluddin Abdul Rahman al-Suyuti, he also mentioned this hadith authentic. He has an entire book on it. Al-Imam Abu al-Barakat al-Luknawi, he also mentioned this hadith to be authentic. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Baqufuri, the author of Tuhfat al-Ahwadi, the Sharh of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he also mentioned this hadith to be authentic. Very recently, Sheikh Ahmad Muhammad Shakir, he also graded the hadith authentic. Also recently, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Arnaut, he graded the hadith authentic. Likewise, Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani, I'm sure you'll be waiting for him. Rahimahullah. He also graded the hadith authentic in his book, Sahih Sunan Abi Dawood. Likewise, others after him, Dr. Muhammad Nuruddin Itik, he also graded the hadith authentic, and others among the scholars of hadith. And now Sheikh Mashhur Hassan Al Salman, he mentioned the hadith authentic too. Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi, that's his view too, that the hadith is authentic. Sheikh Abu Ishaq Al-Huwain, he also mentioned the hadith authentic. Sheikh Jasim Al-Dawsari, he wrote an entire book on the subject. He mentions this hadith authentic. These things, somebody now comes to say it's not known. In the Muqaddimah of this book, Sheikh Mashhur Hassan al-Salman mentioned 27 scholars, right from the time of Ibn Manda to the 1000th century after Islam, the scholars who wrote entire books on Salat al-Tasbih. And all of them, except one, mentioned that the hadith is authentic. The hadith is authentic. The one who mentioned that it's not authentic was Al-Imam al-Zahabi. Rahimahullah. How? Not because in that book he said that it's not authentic, but because in Mizan al-Intidad he mentions the hadith to be weak. Otherwise, his actual position in the book itself is not known. I didn't see anybody talking about it. After those that Sheikh Mashhur mentioned, I came across three others among the scholars of hadith in the past who wrote about the book that Sheikh Mashhur did not mention. Hafizahullah. Somebody comes to say it was not a known thing amongst the scholars. It's a wrong statement. Salat al-Tasbih is established from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think it will suffice for us to stop there. The Yoruba say, Taba Bunya Ninu Ewe, Ta Sebe Ninu Ikuepa, and Tima Yo Ma Yo, and Juli Uwe. I didn't want to go so far. You see, Mala, Katan, Goya, you know, Yam, the big Yam, it will not be like two. Sakara, Katan Sakara, if we make it inside a leaf, we get a leaf. Chicken, inside the leaf, we make Sakara. Then we get Katan Jadako, the peel of groundnuts. Jada, the peel. We cook soup inside it. Me a chicken shit. If we make sakara in leaf, we make soup in the peel of groundnut. Somebody will eat it. He will still feel in the field. We will find a person who will eat the peel from it. That is, no matter how something is small, some people will still find points of benefit. The reason I'm saying this is that there are a lot of statements out there. Sheikh Uthaymin said, Sheikh, let these things be going up a little bit. But if you cannot do that, just keep quiet. That's all. The scholars bigger than those ones you are mentioning say that this hadith is authentic. Apart from that, the scholars say there is also a way of being able to check who amongst them was right in the situation. Because they are all talking about one thing. So for each of them who has a statement, for example, somebody comes to say, an Imam al-Tirmidhi graded da'if. I say, with which is not. See, I don't know. All I know is that al-Tirmidhi graded da'if. Stop talking. An Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. He says, ما جادلني أحد إلا غلبني. Nobody argues with me except the fact that he defeats me. I'll keep quiet for him. ما جادلني أحد إلا غلبني. Nobody argues with me except that he overcomes me. Because I'll keep quiet. How? إن كان الحق معه. If the truth is with him, سكت له. I will keep quiet for him because he has the truth. But if I am the one who has the truth and he is arguing blindly, I will keep quiet because it will not benefit him that I continue to talk. So in both occasions, I will keep quiet. It's either I find truth in what he has said, I accept it, so I'll keep quiet for him, or that I have the truth clear and he is arguing blindly, then I keep quiet for his blind argument. So on both occasions, he has labeled. He will overpower me, he will overrun me because I will keep quiet for him. So brothers actually like to argue to overcome the person. It is not a good way of making muzakarah to end. Will galaba. To overcome or override. No. Make it realistic further. You want to benefit from the next person so that the next person can also take some sort of benefit from you. This is the way discussions on knowledge goes. That's why very small issues amongst our brothers, you see them abusing themselves and cursing themselves. In every media where you go, people start abusing themselves. If you have not thought that you are Mufti Dunya, that or you are Qadi Qudat, or you are yourself Ibn Hajar, if you have not started that discussion with that mindset, then you should be able to accept the truth if it is told to you. But these things are strange now. So you find our brother saying that we are doing dawah on Facebook, they are just abusing themselves, they are not doing any dawah. Yes, these media has caused more problems amongst the Muslims, especially in our own community, than it has solved. I hope that those of our brothers who are upon it will look at it better. If they are not out of it, they should be able to control their attitudes on social media, especially on Facebook. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah keep us firm upon the sunnah. Perhaps we can take one or two questions before we depart today, inshallah. Naam. Alaykum salam. But I hope that this matter is clear. Salatul Tasbih is from the sunnah. And I hope that it is clear how to perform Salatul Tasbih. Alhamdulillah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can we observe Salatul Tasbih in Jama'ah? I actually came across one of the scholars who wrote an entire book regarding Salatul Tasbih. Al-Imam al-Ba'li al-Hambali. I think that's his name. He's a 5th or 6th century scholar. Sheikh Mashrur Hassan did not mention him in his book. One of the chapters he mentioned is this. That can we perform Salatul Tasbih in Jama'ah? He views that there are nawafil that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed in Jama'ah. So he started to give examples. He gave the example of the hadith of the companion in Musnad Ahmad. We read it when we were discussing Salatul Duha. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his house and observed Salatul Duha. That hadith occurs mu'allakon in Sahih al-Bukhari. And then they lined behind the Prophet and made that Salatul Duha with the Prophet Muhammad. And then he said that to a Salah. He brought that hadith. He also brought the hadith that Abdullah ibn Abbas observed Qiyam al-Layl together with the Prophet. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud observed Qiyam al-Layl with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman observed Qiyam al-Layl with the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is evidence that we can observe a nafila in jama'ah. But this statement, I didn't find it from any other person except him. And it is possible to say that, yes, you can observe some nawafil in jama'ah sometimes, because the Prophet did those ones too, sometimes. One. Two, he did never observe those nawafil inside the masjid. The Prophet would not, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now invite the people. People come on special Salatul Tasbih night. Just like we have now today, special Qiyamul Layl, special Tahajjud night. All these things are innovations. And they will use this same ahadith. What the Prophet did were in the homes. And sometimes. So if this happens now in the homes, and sometimes we have something to say, but that people take it for a practice, and then inside the masjid in the public, they will not have a proof for that. Is this answer clear? I let you tell you. I mean one. The hadith of Abbas. I mean, it's not. But Sheikh Mashur Hassan Al Salman mentioned it, one. Many others too mentioned it. Sheikh Muhammad Bayumi mentioned it. I didn't remember to mention it. It was one of the first books I read to be convinced about Salatul Tasbih. I've had this book since 1998. This book I'm holding. 1990. You see, it's photocopied. If I tell you the name of the original owner, you'll be surprised. Abu Hikma Luqman Idris. I made this photocopy from him. His name is on it. The title of the book is Salatul Tasbih by Muhammad Bayumi. It's one of the best books on this issue. Every question you want to ask on Salatul Tasbih, you find it inside, inshallah. He gathered the statements of the scholars of hadith and he addressed it. In fact, it's supposed to be Salatul Tasbih Riwayatan Wadirayatan. That's supposed to be the name of this book. Because the first thing he did was to address the asanid issues regarding that. After affirming that it is sahih, he mentioned those who said that it is sahih. He mentioned those who said it is da'if. He addressed those reasons to prove that no, their position is wrong. After that, he now came to fiqh al-hadith. He was very excellent in the book. Muhammad Bayumi. I don't know whether he's alive or he's dead, but he has many good books. He has a tahqiq of Bulugh al-Maram. He has other books too. He has a tahqiq of Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. He has other good books too. Muhammad Bayumi. And most of his efforts are upon the way of the scholars of hadith. It's a very good book. Salatul Tasbih. So, what he said is that the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should recite the surah first. And then we should recite Al-Fatiha first, and then the surah. What we will gain from that is that we should observe the normal things in that salah. The normal things of standing is these ones. So it means when we go on ruku, normal ruku, but with additional tasbihat. This is what Sheikh Mashur said. I think he said it too. Others too have said it among the scholars who have written on it, that we should do it. What you can even find is that the other way around. There are those who say you can say those adhkar before you say the normal things of ruku, the normal adhkars of ruku and sujood. But the most apparently correct thing, inshallah, is that say those adhkars first before you say the tasbih. I hope that it is clear. Alaykum salam. I'm coming. This book it fascinates me. Around 98, 99, this book. Before 2000, well before 2000. Well, I it's a very nice book for us to read. At those times, we did not used to read big books. Wallahi. We used to read small books. You would think that we memorized the book. 80% of what I'm saying today is I'm just saying some residual knowledge. I didn't have time to really go back into the sources again. I just picked them and started looking at it. I'm sure some of the people there will be saying things. I went to sleep after Zuhr. I was tired. I was telling them this morning that I don't know how I want to discuss a lot of this video. But when you go back to it and you start sleeping, the things will come back again. It's like physics chemistry now. Some boys will come and say, Abu, today we did... So we started talking physics and chemistry. How many years ago? Most of them, we didn't give back to them when we are learning physics now. You remember so many things. Surface tension, capillarity. So... But these days, people want to start with big books. That's where I'm going. Many of our younger brothers now, they don't perfect any small book before they try to read the big ones. They used to abuse us. They were very blessed books. At that time, Kitabu Tawhid Sheikh Fawzan. Only Allah knows how many times we read it. You know, one small book, up to the hand size like this, Kitabu Tawhid, Sheikh Fawzan. Sifat Salat Nabi. Ta'aliku Sheikh Al-Albani ala al-Aqidat al-Tahawiyya. These are books that, I still have my copies till now. Those books, these books that I'm talking about. We read them like, no, there is no tomorrow. Tamamul Minna Sheikh Al-Albani. Those days it was photocopies. My copy was if it's a brother in Kaduna. It is when we now started going to Saudi Arabia and Atira. So if you see our copies of Tamamul Minna now, it will be very clean, very neat. Those are not the copies that we are reading on. Nuzhatun Nazar. And Nukatu ala Nuzhatun Nazar by Sheikh Ali al-Halabi with Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. When we read those books, they are photocopies. Photocopy. If I still have the copy till today. Now I have two big man copies, two fine copies, two different ones. I saw one edition 1 year, another year, so I said, ah, this is a new edition, I bought it. Those ones are the ones we see on our roof. So we talk if I say this book is clean, she won't come by. What is Kari, what he says, down for a rule anyway. So careful dua, that book I brought in the last class, I showed to us. That was when we started traveling and buying books. Photocopies. I still have the photocopy of the field there. We photocopy it and buy it. We have the man who used to buy for us at the time. In the late 90s, 97, 98. You'll be reading it every day. Adab al-Dua, Adab al-Azkar. You'll be reading it every day. Kitab al-Azkar, Imam al-Nawawi. You read it like Quran. Today people don't read books like this. All these books will give you a solid foundation about the Sunnah. Now people read big books. big books. But the usul are missing. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen will always say, man hurrim al-usul, hurrim al-usul. Man hurrim al usul. The one who misses out, let me use it like that, from the foundations, hurrim al usul. He will be prevented from going up. He will not be able to progress. Because where will he jump from? He wants to jump up. How do you start? Your initial velocity, how will you get it? That zero velocity with which you start your projector, where will you get it from? From the ground. Okay, the ground does not exist. How do you start? How do you start the jump? If you want to jump, your leg must be on the ground first. Who the exercise is that? You just want to keep like this. So how do you put your legs? Where? In the air? If you put it in the water, it will not stand. If you put it in the sand, instead of looking up, where will you look? You'll be going down. So even the foundation too must be well built. So at those times, and those are the times, no wife, no children, nobody. No wife, no children, nobody. We are just sooner here than she than done. Even the issues of niqab, we used to have our children at Telebe that time. If we want to discuss niqab now, we don't need to start going to the books. So, because those times, those were the times, the brain was fresh. No family, no children, no school fees, no nothing. So we are not thinking about anything. So these are the things that the brothers, our younger ones, should get busy. These books now, they will cost much more books. Are the books that they should get busy with. And that's why I never forget Sheikh Najmuddin Suleiman. He was suggesting the books, and if you have a problem, he will attend to you. Sometimes you almost be finishing a book with him. He will patiently attend to you. So when you go, you say, okay, add this one to it. He'll go to his bookshelf. He'll give you another small book. I remember a book, Hijab al-Mar'at al-Muslima wa Libasuha fi Salaf. Belebelo now, by Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Hijab al-Mar'at al-Muslima wa Libasuha fi Salaf. You know this book? Some of our brothers are smiling. Small book, but very big. If you have any problem, come back. Go back. Like a child that was being told, put your leg here, put your leg here, put your leg. You never forget. May Allah forgive him all his shortcomings and forgive all of us too. And bless him and bless all of us too. Are you making tashahud between two rak'ats? No, it is four straight rak'ats. Sheikh Abdul Salam, Bismillah. Okay, last question for today, inshallah. Go on. Ebere, lady Abinibi now. Sano Jelba, told you. He's asking, a brother has a wife. That wife has a younger sister. Can the husband of the younger sister of a brother's wife now come and see that brother's wife's face? No. Because he's not mahram at all to her. Can't see. He can't. How do we complete the last rak'ah of Salatu at-Tasbih? Because he does not have Jalsatul Istiraha. Sheikh Mashur Hassan al-Salman addressed it. He said, after your tashahud, before you make taslim, you should make it. Do you understand? The last rak'ah. You know you are going to sit down for taslim. So you make the tasbihat after your tashahud. I hope that is clear. A very nice question. I think we should stop there, okay? SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.